From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament, and the focus in this message is the book of Galatians. In the course of this book, Paul emphasized that free grace is the vital principle of the only gospel of salvation that God has ever revealed to us. It is a gospel that entirely repudiates human merit or works as having any part in salvation. And Paul pronounced God's curse upon any who tried to adulterate this message. An important emphasis in Galatians is the matter of Christian liberty. Against those who would use their Christian liberty to allow all kinds of questionable behavior, Paul declared that liberty for the believer is a standing of perfect acceptance before God in Christ. In concluding the epistle, Paul warns against the legalists, people who would demand a works righteousness of believers, something that is entirely contrary to salvation by grace alone. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this overview of Galatians under the title, Standing Fast in Gospel Liberty. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Forget and Forgive. The text is found in Proverbs 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Be not in haste, let anger cool down. Say nothing and do nothing to avenge yourself. You will be sure to act unwisely if you take up the cudgels and fight your own battles, and certainly you will not show the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. It is nobler to forgive and let the offense pass. To let an injury rankle in your bosom and to meditate revenge is to keep old wounds open and to make new ones. Better forget and forgive. Peradventure you say that you must do something or be a great loser. Then do what this morning's promise advises. Wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. This advice will not cost you money, but is worth far more. Be calm and quiet. Wait upon the Lord. Tell him your grievance. Spread Rabshakeh's letter before the Lord, and this of itself will be an ease to your burdened mind. Besides, there is the promise, he shall save thee. God will find a way of deliverance for you. How he will do it, neither you nor I can guess, but do it he will. If the Lord save you, this will be a deal better than getting into petty quarrels and covering yourself with filth by wrestling with the unclean. Be no more angry. Leave your suit with the judge of all.
Oh,
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Notice this. I've spoken about these people who think that Christian liberty is the liberty to go out and smoke and drink. And let me tell you, these are the very people who come to people like us and say, you're legalists. You don't believe in drinking and all the rest of that. So you're legalists. My friend, let me tell you, the adoption of high standards for the sake of our testimony is not legalism. It has nothing to do with trying to justify ourselves before God by works. It is simply taking what Paul says seriously, that we're desirous not of vainglory, but we're desirous of provoking one another to good works. We're desirous of doing what we can by the will of God to let the whole testimony of the gospel guide us in what we do so that we don't trip up other Christians and we don't bring dishonor to the name of Christ. And I would say in a country like America that's sinking in an ocean of alcohol, I would say the best testimony a Christian and a Christian church can lift up is to say we are against it 100%. But having said that, That is a standard for our testimony. There are other Christians who disagree with us. We say, fine, you disagree. We're not saying you can't be saved. We're not saying to you that you're excluded from the Church of Christ. We're not saying that you could not have fellowship with people of our persuasion. What we're saying is that you can't come in here and guide the affairs and take over the affairs of this church, for we believe this is a testimony that's vital to the glory of God. It's nothing to do with legalism. It's a testimony of liberty. Up in Canada, some of the brethren come from the Dutch Reform background. And of course, the Dutch Reform people practically all like to be smoking. They like the tobacco weed. And when they came in to the Free Church, they found that we didn't believe in Christians being addicted to smoking. Some of them had a hard time. But the Lord opened their hearts and they got victory. So they went back to their friends and they were beaming, they were rejoicing in the Lord, and they were testifying, and everybody could see they were like new men. And one fellow who was back in the old church, he said, "Ah, you people are in bondage. You're with these fundamentalists. You're in bondage." There he was puffing away. "You're in bondage because you can't smoke." And my friend said to him, he said, "Come off it. Come off it. You know better than that. You can't stop that. Come on, tell me who's in bondage. You can't stop that." And I couldn't stop it. I was a slave to it. But I'm not a slave anymore. I'm free. Now tell me who's in bondage. End of argument. End of argument. Thank God. It satisfies the law of this gospel. It justifies the believer. And it sanctifies the believer. Makes him holy. The only holiness is the way of the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. Live by faith in the crucified Christ, and you'll live in holiness. Now, the biggest part of this has yet to come, and I'm going to have to leave it out. And that is that the glorious gospel of grace gives us liberty because it clarifies the nature and the function of the law. Read chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Galatians very carefully, and you'll find that it shows you what the law is for. It was never meant to be the means of justification. Indeed, it demands a redemption by blood. It came after the promise, so therefore it can't supersede it. It can't in any way nullify it. It was only a temporary addition to the promise, not a permanent replacement or appendix. And let me put this in. Galatians 3 and verse 20. You've got one of the most difficult verses in all the Bible. There's at least 250 different interpretations of this verse. And that was 250 years ago. The Lord only knows how many more have been added in the meantime. 250 interpretations to this verse in Galatians 3 and verse 20. A mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Let me cut through it all and tell you what I believe it's simply saying. It's saying that Christ, the law, was mediated by Christ, just the very same as the promise of grace is mediated by Christ. He is the only... You know, there's nobody in the whole Bible ever called a mediator except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I don't believe this is speaking of Moses mediating the law, verse 19. He may be a picture of Christ, but Christ is the only mediator. He mediated the law, he mediated the promise. And therefore, the law is not the enemy of grace. The law is given to lead people to Christ. That's what it's given for. And while it was leading them, chapter 4, it had the church like a child during the years of its minority. But now we have come to full age. Why would you want to go back to the law? That's Paul's argument. He goes on in chapter 4 to say, law worshippers are like Ishmael, they're the sons of Hagar. We are like Isaac, we're the sons of promise. How could any Christian want to go back to the law? Why would you give up free grace for the bondage of doing the best you can or adding to the work of Christ? Doesn't make sense. Yet that's what's happening today, because you'll see this liberty of ours is under constant threat. There's a verse in chapter 2, it's verse 4, and it says this. False brethren, there are false brethren unawares brought in, and they came in privily to spy out our liberty, that they might bring us into bondage. Now that has been happening ever since. The Church of Rome has as its central doctrine a repudiation of justification by grace through faith without works. Their whole central doctrine is a system of works righteousness. It's a false gospel. The ritualists of our day are the same. But you know, there's a bigger danger. You see, we seem a little remote from the Church of Rome, but here's the big danger. I'm not going to read chapter 2, verses 11 onwards, which speak of Peter's role in this. But let me sum it up. There are people, there are good brethren, who unwittingly weaken the gospel of free grace and thereby bring believers into bondage. It's happening in our fundamental churches. They are unwittingly weakening the gospel of free grace. They're making a joint effort. If you study theology, when you come to the great doctrine of regeneration, there are two great themes of thought. One goes back to a man called Pelagius, and it's called synergism. The other is the doctrine of the Bible, and it's called monergism. One is monergism. Regeneration is solely the act of God upon a dead soul, giving life by grace without any help from man. Synergism is the sinner cooperating with God to bring himself into an estate of salvation. That is denying to some extent the doctrine of free grace. But synergism is the prevailing doctrine in Bible-believing churches today. Now we need to have great care here. Justification is obscured. The notion is fostered by many that after you're saved by an act of faith, then you've got to live on the basis of law. Not only in fundamentalism. I was reading one of America's great theologians of this century, Dr. Rushdoony, in his Christian Reconstruction theology, his Dominion theology. And he makes the statement again and again and again that sanctification is by law. He couldn't be more wrong. Sanctification is by grace through faith in Christ, and it produces a life that will honor the law of God. But it's by grace, it's not by law. Guilt theology kills Christian liberty and Christian life. There's so many Christians laboring under it. Listen, I read chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Study it carefully and you'll find this, that we are legally free from the law because the law has been satisfied. We have been justified. We're sanctified through Christ. And that is our liberty. Let us not give it up. Because Paul ends up, as we read today, stand fast, therefore. This false gospel is bewitching, leads people astray. So he says, stand fast. Verse 1 of chapter 5, stand. There's a great battle for the faith. Stand. That's our fidelity. Verse 7, he says, ye did run well. So we're to run. That's our obedience to the truth. That's our fervency. Don't drag your feet. Run in the path of truth and obedience. And then verse 16 and verse 25, walk in the Spirit. That's our fellowship. Don't boast in the flesh. Others may glory in their circumcision, the mark of a dead religion. Paul says, I have better marks than that to glory in. They glory in circumcision. They glory in the mark of the Old Testament ritual. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were brand marks. Criminals wore them. The abhorred wore them. Slaves wore them. Soldiers wore them. People who were devoted to a religion wore them. Paul says, I am Christ's criminal. They boast, they keep the law. The law says I'm a criminal. They throw me in jail. Thank God I don't care what the law of the world says. I am Christ's. I bear his mark. They abhor me with reproach, but I bear the marks of Christ. I am his slave. I am his soldier. I am consecrated to him. I have the marks of Christ. And he says, this is what I want you to do. Have the mark of Christ about your life. That's the mark that really matters. That's the life that really matters. The world needs Christians, not who are running around so proud of their own little fleshly efforts, but Christians who are filled with Christ, who are living for Christ, who are preaching Christ, who are so like Paul in his ministry that they can go to that drunk in San Francisco. They can go to the sodomite. They can go to the Roman Catholic, to the Protestant, to the Hindu, to the Muslim. They can go to every man of every color, of every class, of every creed, of every country. And they can say, Christ is the Savior of sinners. You can be saved by grace, through faith. And that broken life can be remade. And that conscience can be put at rest, all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The call of Galatians then is a call back to free grace as the basis of our salvation and as the motive for our service. There is no other gospel, and nothing else can bring liberty to the sons of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Give fruit for its proclamation. Lord, we thank thee for free grace. What a wonderful thing the grace of God is. He found us where we were. Loved us when we were unlovely and unloving. Lifted us out of the depths of our sin and shame. Washed us in the blood of the Lamb. Justified us freely. And made us meet for heaven. Oh God, we're glad for the constant supply of the Spirit. And we pray that now thou wilt take this gospel, apply it to the souls of men and women, to the salvation of the lost, and to the encouragement, edification, and blessing of all thy people. Thou dost know our needs. Lord, just supply out of thine infinite store, supply the grace that we need today. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy very richest blessing. We ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.